Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on January 3rd, 2016, and is entitled Giving Honor and Esteem in 2016, Part 1.
Well, friends, this morning, this being the 3rd of January, what a delight for me to continue to just inspire and encourage our church, especially with the way that we're confident the Lord's wanting us to focus in on. We've done themes here at Hope Chapel throughout the years. We've had a variety of themes. Many of you have been with us during those themes, and we're going to introduce our new 2016 theme. Matter of fact, the front of your bulletin has our new logo laid out. But before I launch there, how about it? Before we even go into prayer over the word, don't we like going through memory lane a little bit? Maybe some of you could help respond by remembering some of our past themes. Here we go. Let's give it a try. 2003 was growth in me in 2003. 2004 was giving Christ more. 2005 was keeping prayer alive. 2006 was healing the sick in 2006. Remember, we handed out vials of oil to every individual. And I'm telling you, we were lathering everybody up with anointing oil. We were just anointing even sometimes those parking meters out there when they didn't operate. Let's heal this thing. And we had 2007. That was a great one as well, handing out heaven. We were out just praying for our lost relatives and friends. And we even handed out a license plate frame. How many still have a license plate flame that says handing out heaven? I do, and thank you. That means some of us don't let the automatic car wash handle our cars. How's that? Or they tear it on up. 2008, we had fasting with faith. That was some of our greatest breakthroughs at that time. 2009 was Scripture is Mine. 2009, we were handing out Bible verses to memorize on our church calendars, one verse per week. 2010, it was equipping the next gen. We invested in our next generation. Our church council invited our young 20-year-olds onto our elder board. That was a big improvement. We found that that was significant in just perceiving and projecting. 2011 was basically eliminating leaven in 2011. 2012 was serving Christ well. 2013 was growing in a team. Remember, we took Proverbs 27:17 as iron sharpens iron. We just recognized, man, we just need to get together, and accountability was so significant. 2014 was seeing the unseen. We were just believing in hope for things. Great breakthroughs there. 2015, we had then multiplying life teams, where we were recognizing mentoring was where it's at. Coaching, so important. Many of you receiving my Monday mentoring moments, and so that was so significant for our church. And so today, 2016, as you can see here, it is giving honor and esteem in 2016. The little subtitle there is a culture of care. How do we develop a caring environment where we say, man, I want to be more conscientious about your welfare and who you are? And we take hold of that with regards to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 is our theme verse, which says, as you can see, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So for a redeemed community, that comes easy, but sometimes we need reminders. A person that's not regenerated, not redeemed, we're still focused on self. I need, I demand, I want. But then God starts to come into us, and he's trying to reach our establishment, basically the world. And so with that, the idea that as we were last season, having three services, we were focused on what we called sit and serve. You would sit during one of the services on Sunday, receive ministry, and then on another service, man, everybody needs to serve the body of Christ, serve Christ, and we felt that that was great. Today, we're moving into two services, getting a little more crunchy, acclimated, aware of each other, so that we can give honor and esteem and see what God's going to do. I personally am convinced this is going to be Hope Chapel's greatest year. I'm convinced in this regard that God is going to make sure you receive a full reward. God is all about giving rewards. That's what he's about. Matter of fact, he introduced himself to Abraham. Remember that in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, where he told Abraham, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. God is about wanting to give you rewards. He does not want to welch on anything. So it's important for us to recognize it's in his nature. And when we are taking a look at hope and faith, remember taking a look at how we saw in Hebrews chapter 11, that hero's hall of faith, Hebrews 11, 6, where it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we're going to start with today, not just focusing on caring for a culture within ourselves, but we recognize the importance of honoring God. That's today, going into communion, honoring God, and showing value to the Lord. So it's helpful for us today to recognize certainly the importance, and that is with regards to the word honor. You can see on your notation there that we have the Greek word, to me, is the pronouncement of that. Literal definition is that it is a valuing, or we could say valuable, precious. It's a weightiness, or such as in gold. Other definition would be appreciation, esteem, favorable regards with respect. Something you value, you would not put in your junk drawer next to your old socks still needing to be laundered. Isn't that true? So because we value something, we honor it. To take a look at what dishonor, the opposite of honor, would be, dishonor, you can see on your notation, is to treat as common or to treat as ordinary, to show no respect or value. Now, friends, sometimes people do get into that. We have our bias. We say, well, I like you because you look and behave and act like me. And sometimes we could even just take a look and say, well, I don't really want to get to know that person. They look like they have nothing I want. Therefore, we don't value them. Today, this year, we're going to give honor and esteem in 2016. And the importance of it being is I want and believe God's going to give you, give our church and those that come into Hope Chapel a full reward. Let me start by just asking the Lord as we pray now. Father, thank you. As we open up your word, open our hearts and let us see things, especially with regards to our relationship to you. We want that to matter most. Lord, thank you. Lord, everyone here today, and it's been a joy already. It's not by accident that we are here gathered around the word of God. Let that word now come, reign supreme with clear understanding and focus for our future. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to take a look, and you please write down these references because I'm hoping you'll get into our mini church. Our midweek services begin tomorrow with the Monday mini churches. Today's mini church is not happening because the Hanning mini church is still on holiday break. But let's begin, and if you'll take your Bibles in hand, let's open to 2 John. It's right next to the book of Revelation. So if you find the book of Revelation, which, by the way, dear friends, next week we're starting a study series on Revelation. We're going to have the ladies' study on Wednesday, co-ed on Thursday. That information's in your Bible. Man, get with it. Get your material. Let's go for it. What a season to take a look at that book. But let's look here at 2 John. This is the epistle, 2 John, right next to Jude, then Revelation. You'll see it there. 2 John, verse 8. I'm in 2 John, verse 8. Here the apostle John is speaking. He is 90 years of age. How many know when you're 90 years of age, you can say anything you want? This is the grandfather clause. How's that? I mean, you say anything you want. We are all ears. And he says something that I believe is very important for us today. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Everybody say full reward. Full reward. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. I believe not only those past themes, but the things that God's instilled in you, taught you, showed you, walked out with you, that you would receive a full reward. Now, if there's a full reward, let's digress a little bit. That means there could be a partial reward. And that also means no reward, that somebody can receive no reward. And for our theme, as we take a look at this, and we're looking at honoring God today, to honor somebody, those we value and respect, others, I want to share and tell you that will constitute a full reward for your life. To play a little bit of a selective role in how we're going to esteem people in our lives, that's where you and I will receive a partial reward from God. And for those that come along and treat God and His creation with indifference, no big deal, no big deal. It's just part of the flow. There's going to be no reward. So full reward, look to yourselves. Those things that have been instilled in you, given to you and me, man, let's cherish that so that we may receive a full reward. Now we're going to take a look at honoring God today and how significant, because today is our communion Sunday and we're priming and preparing ourselves. So our first point is honoring God. And this particular ministry of Jesus we're going to look at because there was significant happenings in His life where people did not appreciate, did not recognize, esteem Him, and they received no reward, no mighty work, maybe a partial reward. And I think the best to launch would be in Mark chapter 6. As you write that down, then open your Bible to Mark chapter 6. By the way, how many received a Bible this Christmas? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Good. Oh, that's what, don't be shy. You know, give it a, matter of fact, let's do this. Let's take a look at Bible attendance this, even if you were handed one from the ushers. Let's get this word up. Bible attendance. Raise your Bible, electronic apps. We love that. Good. Great. Yeah. Some of you are saying, man, I don't need it. I've got it logged here in my head, in my heart. That's good. But it's always nice to bring the word. And we love it when the neighbors are saying, Paul, I know who goes to your church. How? They're carrying their Bibles. Way to go. Way to go. Well, let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. We're in the Gospel of Mark, naturally, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And in Mark chapter 6, we have Jesus who is coming in to His own community, among His own countrymen. And there's a reaction that they have to Jesus. I'm in verse 1, Mark chapter 6. Says, then He went out from there and came to His own country, and His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath had come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to Him, that such mighty works are performed by His hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were what? Offended at Him. But Jesus said to him, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now He could do no mighty work there except that He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. And He marveled because their unbelief. Then He went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Now take a look at verse 5, because we're talking about honoring God, and Jesus is already saying, I'm going to get no honor among my own countrymen. In verse 5, look at this. Now He could do no mighty works there. Can you see that? No mighty works there. We talk full reward. They're not going to get it there. They received no mighty works there except that He laid His hands on a few sick people and healed them. No full reward, a partial reward. Maybe the healing of some back pain over here, a little minor arthritic condition, maybe a few headaches. All that's good, all that's good. That's a partial reward. Man, He could do no mighty works. Now, look at verse 5. It does not say He would not do any mighty. Now, I could understand that if it says He will not do mighty works. Why? Because He's sovereign. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. But Amplified Bible says He was not able to do. Why? Why was Jesus, who was going into other communities, and I mean moved with compassion, and everyone came through, and it says he healed the sick, he cleansed the leper, he raised the dead, and cast out demons, opening eyes of the blind. Why not here? Well, we got the answer. He brings it up in verse 4. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor. Everybody say honor. Everybody say honor. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. They didn't honor him. They didn't recognize him. They weren't interested in that. Now, what was taking place, they were actually offended at him. They heard about some things he was doing. But let's set the tempo just a little bit. What's going on? You might write down Luke chapter 4, verse 16 through 30, because you'll share this in your mini church. In Luke 4, 16, the same situation. Luke goes into a little more detail. It is the Sabbath, verse 16. It says actually in verse 16 of Luke 4, as is Jesus' custom, he's found in the synagogue. Jesus goes to church on the Sabbath. Isn't that great? What a great habit. Honey, we got to go to church. Why? Well, man, it's a good habit. It teaches things to our family. And he's there. And he opens up to Isaiah 61, verse 1. He starts to read. Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, set at liberty those who are held captive. And he starts reading. Then he closes the book and he says this. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What he was saying is, I am the Messiah. They are blown away. Now, we could see here in Mark chapter 6, they start reasoning. Verse 3, is this not the carpenter? So you can see, isn't this guy like, isn't this, they probably even went further and they said, hey, Marge, didn't he play on Bobby's soccer team? Hey, don't we have some of his table and chairs in our kitchen? Who does this guy think he is? No honor. Isn't this the carpenter? Don't we know his siblings? They're listed there, some of the names of his earthly brothers. And they were offended at him. And then Jesus says a prophet always has honor, except among his own countrymen. Even his own family. Maybe you tried that this holiday time. You go up there and maybe try to share Jesus a little bit with your relatives, maybe some of your close friends, and say, hey, have you considered Jesus? Oh, get away from me. What do you do? You're always doing that, ruining our party. No honor. And that's what's happening to Jesus as well. So when we look here at our notes here, Mark 6, 4 talks about Jesus says a prophet is not without honor. Everybody say honor again. Good. Now it's important because when we take a look here, I think it's worth noting because a prophet does receive honor, should receive honor. People should receive. We saw that in 1 Peter when we were looking through that epistle. Honor the king. Honor all people. But just a little side note here. Isn't it interesting? Because the nation of Israel, they're looking for the Messiah. They recall what the Messiah will be like and what will happen. They're remembering Isaiah 9, verse 6. Unto you is given a child, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Man, they're thinking, yes, this Messiah is going to be a warring, militant, conquering Messiah. Who is this guy? He's a carpenter. No honor. And I want to just say, too, things that God knows you need, may come in packages you don't want to accept. And we blow it. And we fight it. And here they're not ready to accept. Here it is, the Messiah. When we look here, that's why they end up where Jesus says he could do no mighty works. A partial reward. Healing of a few backaches, some minor arthritic conditions, few headaches. But man, let's see some resurrection of the dead. No, couldn't. He couldn't. Why? No honor. Honor is where it's at. How we honor God. I believe you're going to have a full reward this year. But it's going to be how we approach God. Oh, I'm going to see if God fits in my schedule. Let's see, what are we doing this week? What's the calendar say on Sunday, honey? And when we don't give God honor, you might end up with no reward. No reward. Nothing's happening. No breakthrough. Has everything to do with our recognition of God. Honor originates in the heart. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, talks that way. Matter of fact, the Greek dictionary says honor can be displayed in three ways. It's worth noting. Naturally in action. Also then in words. We can give honor with our words. And then honor in our thoughts. Isn't that interesting? That's where God's stratosphere comes in. Wow, how are we thinking about him lately? Because Isaiah 29, 13, it's listed on your notes there. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear or reverence toward me is taught by the commandment of men. It's kind of worked up. Men are trying to get it there. Only God recognizes how much we esteem and honor him. You and I can display whatever, but see, we can't confuse and cause some kind of a deception with God. He knows. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, and verse 10 is worth noting. In Jeremiah 17, 9, it says that the heart is desperately wicked. Man, nobody can know it or control it. But actually, verse 10 comes, but God searches the heart, knows what the heart is doing, and rewards accordingly. Wow. We're going for a full reward this year. But what a great setup going into even having communion. Lord, I want to honor you. I don't want to just believe in you. Things of God matter to me. And I'll move heaven and earth to say, Lord, you're more important to me. So when we look at this, it's so important. Partial reward, why was that? No honor. No honor. So Jesus comes into his hometown. He comes in a way they're not expecting it. They're withholding honor. There's no value. We see that honor in our definition, to me, literal definition of valuing, preciousness, weightiness, such as gold, appreciation, esteem, or respect. So in our theme, giving honor and esteem, we could use that word honor and say value, and the word esteem, respect. I'm going to give you value, and I'm going to give you respect. Another way of saying it, I value. Man, I respect you just for who you are and the position you serve. Wow. Amazing to see that happen. Let's look at another episode in the life of Jesus where not much of a reward comes into the setting. Check it out with me. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, 17. Write it down, then find your place there as quick as you can. In Luke 5, 17, this is a preacher's conference. Man, they're coming from all over to check out Jesus. And so here they are. Look at verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, they're coming from all surrounding communities, but look at that last line, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who's them? Man, everybody that's there, the power of God is present to heal them. But none of them get healed, except these guys that are wandering in with their paralytic buddy, and they got to bust through the roof to get him in front of Jesus. You know, that's an interesting thing, because if this room is crowded with 100 people, statistically, there'd at least be a dozen, half dozen maybe 24 people that really need a miracle healing, and not one of them get it. No reward. Why? Let's take a look at the story, because they don't give honor to God. Let's look at verse 18. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went up in the housetop and let him down from his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to them, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived in their thoughts, can you see that? Hey, thoughts matter. Thoughts matter. He answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Let's take a look here for a moment. Isn't it interesting? Because you see Jesus in verse 20, he sees their faith. How do you see someone's faith unless it's done in action? You know what I mean? So naturally, they're busting loose the tile. In comes the little gurney. Here he is. He knows exactly what's going on. Bam! "Let your sins be forgiven." Amazing. Power of God is there to heal them all. But only the one outsider who wasn't probably being swayed, saying, "Man, let's just check it out. See if this guy's got what we hear he's got." Matter of fact, they get upset. You can see here they're withholding honor in verse 21. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? We don't like this and we don't like him." And then Jesus naturally says, "Why? You're dishonoring me. You're dishonoring me in your hearts. Why do you do this?" So with that, when we look here, we see in verse 26, that one dude is going back praising God. The rest of them, they were all, verse 26 says, they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Now, isn't it interesting to note, sometimes people can come in here and say, "Yeah, let's just check out what's going on with these Jesus people. And this looks pretty amazing." But then they don't really get into honoring God because it may be their style of worship. Matter of fact, we get people filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they go somewhere else and they say, "Oh man, that stuff doesn't happen. The gifts of the Spirit, no. Tongues, oh please don't do that." And the Holy Spirit gets offended. Because Scripture says, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't offend the Holy Spirit. And we get a partial, maybe even not even that, a no reward because God is not honored. And we walk away in verse 26. They're just saying, "We have seen some strange things today." That's all they got. What a day! It was strange. Honoring God is so important, and we are going for a full reward this year. And it starts by honoring the Lord. So when we take a look at here, and there's one other, I just think it's so important. We see in Matthew chapter 8, let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 5. I like this story. This is a Roman who, they conquered Israel. And you have an army officer who speaks to a carpenter, and he just honors him so that he receives a full reward. Matthew 8, look at verse 5 through 10. Matthew 8, 5 through 10. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, My servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Verse 13 says, go your way as you believe, man, your servant's healed. Bam, he's healed. But check out here, verse 10, and when he hears this, Jesus marveled. Again, anything that Jesus marvels on is like, what is going on here? Because all of a sudden, we have this centurion. How can we equate it? Let's just take a look. Let's just say this guy is a 5-star Marine general, and he's in Iraq, and he's now speaking to a waiter in Iraq. I'm not worthy, the general says, to go into your house. Whoa, the conqueror speaking to the conquered, I'm not worthy. And Jesus marvels at this and says, this guy's got it. What does he have? He understands honor and he understands authority. Now, that's an amazing thing. And then Jesus says, I have not found such great faith in verse 10 in all of Israel. I haven't found it. Now, that is mind-boggling because when you think about that, this guy has more faith than John the Baptist. And I would just even put out a little consideration of debate, I would say that this centurion probably knows less scripture than John the Baptist. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. What is it that gets this centurion his stuff? He honors Jesus. And a full reward. So this guy is more marveled and recognized, more faith in this guy than over John the Baptist or Mother Mary or over the 12 apostles or disciples because he understands honor and honor toward God. Today, when we take a look at communion, what a way to start our year off. Lord, have I honored you adequately enough? Or have I just considered you part of my routine, maybe a lucky rabbit's foot, because I'm interested in dating that person in youth group, or I'm interested in securing a raise in my job. But when I get what I want, I'm gone. So when we look here, isn't it, to honor Jesus, full reward, partial reward, nothing. To dishonor, treat as common, treat as ordinary, to show no respect or value at all. Jesus actually said, I'm just going to set the tempo, and he says to his crowd, in Luke 13, verse 35, he had mentioned, I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What he's saying is, I'm not going to come back until you say, we honor you. We honor you. And I like the fact, too, you can see in John 13, verse 20, can take a look at that. But Jesus, as he sets up the temple for us in our church about honoring people, says, he who receives or honors whom I send receives or honors me. And he who receives or honors me receives and honors my Father who sent me. We start looking at Scripture that way and say, okay, I really want to honor God the best possible way I can. Wow. I have one verse. You're welcome to write it down, but let me read it to you. It's in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. And as you know, in the setting of 1 Samuel, even before little Samuel's a little baby boy, Eli is the high priest, And he's not doing so good in the eyes of God. His understudies are doing immoral acts right at the temple, ripping off the offering. These understudies are his sons. And God sends a prophet in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. The man of God comes to Eli and gives him a written bill of address. But he says this, and I want to say this to us because it shows me the heart of God. Even when I don't honor him the way he's deserving, he still esteems us. That's the secret. So verse 30, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. That's a kicker. Even people that have no interest and despise the living God of all creation, God said, because I love my creation, I will still lightly esteem them. I will still show them respect of life. I'll give them a quality of life. Well, what a great way for us today to consider as we just welcome those who are helping us serve communion. Would you come forward? I want to welcome you. We're going to turn down our lights for our setting. We're going to prepare and make your seat an altar arrangement. Today, we're not really gauging on, Lord, do this or move in that way. We're looking at one thing, letting the Holy Spirit analyze and help us. How have we honored and maintained a respect in God and our own approach to him? Respect in our own approach to God. Let's let the Lord speak that clearly. Because I want you to have a full reward. Some may have just a partial reward this year. Some nothing at all. But salvation is complete. But how about some breakthroughs? Mighty works. I think it starts with our attitude toward God. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we want to thank you for the way which you are going to bring miracles of healing. No more insomnia in Jesus' name. No more respiratory problems in Jesus' name. No more just living with back, shoulder, leg pain. No more. Lord, we believe you're a healer and we honor you. Lord, you're going to do a great work and we want to brag about you. We will have a testimony. We will talk about you. We will talk about you reverently. Forgive us for our quiet approach. Lord, you are to be honored. And we declare our love to you. Jesus, you're everything to us. Praise God. What a Sunday. I love it when God's people approach God and God approaches us. What a way to begin our week, let alone our year. We're so honored that our guests who are here, thank you. Thank you, dear Hope Chapel participants, for bringing your friends and bringing your relatives. We want to make sure I'm going to pray off a blessing and off you go. Well, let me just let you know, we do have our little welcoming booth out there with Ed Jai. If you want to swing by there and gather maybe a freebie. We won't tell you what that is, just in case you missed the donuts. But we do want to just add, too, many of you were not able to be with us last Sunday. We gave out flashlights. There was a reason. That was our candlelight service. And annual Bible readers that are out there on your way out of the foyer, you'll see them. Please enjoy getting into 3 chapters a day, and you'll read through your Bible with us. We'd love that. Matter of fact, we're looking to maybe gather those who complete their Bible reading through some form of app or some form of program. Consider this, that maybe we'll gather for a steak dinner, right? Somebody said tube steaks. We'll see if we can do better than that. But sure do love what God's doing in you, and we look forward to getting better acquainted. Happy New Year. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We are going to see great things, and we're going to make sure we tell everybody it was Jesus. It was Jesus. So, Lord, we've got a story to tell what you've done in our midst this morning. It was Jesus. We love you and thank you, Lord. Bless now each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.